Well, it is so marvelous to be here in the great Louisiana camp meeting, and to be here this week in particular. God is blessing so very outstandingly. I felt that the Lord would do that before I came. I felt so inadequate before I came for this week. And I spent a lot of time in prayer. And the Lord spoke to me and told me just about what He was going to do in this camp. Hallelujah. And it is happening. Aren't you glad for it today? Hallelujah. I am very sorry that I have come to you so physically exhausted. It's manifested itself in many ways in my body. But I do have a great burden for you today. And I'm going to talk to you at least for a little while. I may not take the whole time, but I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes concerning something that I am very, very burdened about and concerned about. I know from personal experience that it is possible to sit in a camp meeting like this and to even shout every day and go home with something in your heart that should not be there. I know that that's very possible. And I feel confident that there are those here today that is doing that very thing. I want to help you. I want to minister. I want to minister to you for just a little while. Praise God. You love the Lord today? Is my voice overbearing? Is it all right for just a little while? All right. Would you worship the Lord? What I'm about to talk to you about is one of the most important elements of doing the apostolic ministry, and that is saving yourself. While we're saving others, we have got to save ourselves. Amen. I remember one time I prayed. I said, Lord, you have helped me. You have used me. And I have seen thousands receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with my head was laid upon their heads. And I said, Lord, please don't let me be lost. Don't let me lose my Holy Spirit. I hadn't committed great sin. But you can get things in your heart, things in your mind that can destroy you. Amen. We have got to some way, somehow, go home from this camp. Not only healed in our bodies, but healed in our minds. Our minds have got to be healed. Praise the Lord. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon. And several of you love to stand while we read, so why don't we all stand as an act of unity. God bless these precious senior citizens here on the front. They're so precious to me. First thing Brother Sism said to me, I seen him on the platform here last night, and he says, I see all your supporters are sitting on the front row. The first thing Brother Susan said to me, amen, we'll all be going home tomorrow. You pray for me, because I've got to ride that Royal airplane out of here. The only way I can get in it is to pick it up and put it on. I was recently going to California to preach a shepherd's retreat for pastors and their wives, and I got on a big plane, and it was packed. Every seat was going to be taken. So in such a case, I always get an aisle seat so I can lean out in the aisle. That's my problem, you know, these big shoulders. And when I got on there, I came to my row. Would you believe the guy sitting in the window seat was bigger than I am? I thought, oh my God. Because there's a seat between, you see. I was taking a third of it. He was taking almost half of it. Somebody had to sit between us. I come to find out later that he had the Holy Ghost, and he was praying for whoever was going to sit in that seat too. And would you believe, here come a little Japanese woman. She must have been about 30 years old, and she didn't weigh over 80 pounds. I said, well, praise the Lord. She sat down there and absolutely disappeared. We look like a missy-bissy sandwich. I got to do that all over again tomorrow. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be able to laugh, feel the joy of the Lord? Oh, what a marvelous service last night. I had a very hard growth on the upper part of my hip, about the size of three of my fingers. And it was real long and about that big around, about the size of my fingers. And it was real hard. And I was suffering with it. I had a doctor look at it, and he said, we need to do something about it immediately, because when a growth has pain, that's a danger sign. It's malignant, and maybe seriously malignant. And as Brother Barnes said last night, now maybe there's someone here that has tumors. That's all he said. And immediately I reached, and it wasn't there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what about your voice, Brother Cole? Ask God about that one. I guess the Lord don't do things for you can do for yourself. Well, I need a little bit of rest, I guess. God bless you. I want to read in the second chapter, Solomon. I have spoke this lesson before, and if you've heard me speak it before, I will simply pray that you get more out of it this time. Amen. In chapter 2, verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind Arwal. Would you say Arwal with me? He standeth behind Arwal. He looketh forth at the windows. showing himself through the lattice. And in chapter 5, read 3 verses, beginning with verse 5. Chapter 5 and verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands cupped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lyre. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers, would you say the keepers? The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your very precious people of God, pastors, ministers, leaders, national officials, missionaries, precious saints of God, new converts, and there may be even those here today that have not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray that you touch us all. Help us, O God, to be what you'd have us to be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. From this text, I want to title this message, He Standeth Behind, emphasizing the word our. O-U-R. Our walls. Our walls. He standeth behind our walls. Walls are built like the character of a man. Stone by stone, they are cemented together to become sometimes a very formidable obstacle to cross. So it is with the characters of our life. It is not stones, but it is events. Every day, there are things that happen to you. From the time you awake in the morning until you go to bed at night, and even sometimes in your sleep, there are events that takes place in your lives. And these events are seemingly together in your life by the emotions of your heart and by our ego. They are cemented together to form a character. And sometimes we allow these events to be built into stair steps that will take us into the presence of the Lord. And that is so wonderful when these events are cemented into stair steps that brings us into God's presence and into the love of God and into the full understanding of the things of the Lord. But unfortunately, so many times we allow the events of our lives, even after we have received the Holy Ghost, even after we have been baptized in His beautiful name, even many times after we have been called into the work of the Lord and we begin the work of God, we allow these events to be cemented together by the emotions of our heart into walls, and they become formidable walls that are in our minds that we force God from time to time to hide behind. At the very moment He would touch us, God has to hide behind these terrible walls that we have built in our hearts and in our minds. In pastoring, I'm not really a greatly experienced pastor, but I am learning. And I have done several years of pastoring, and I love the people of God. The only thing about pastoring that I don't like is when people fail God the church. That is extremely grievous to me. It is very difficult for me not to grieve beyond reason when someone has left the church. There comes a time as a pastor that we have to lay aside that grief and go ahead and do the work of the Lord and work with those that will live for God. Amen. But in counseling with people, sometimes people have come to me, which what seems to be great, overwhelming problems. And when they tell it to me, they tell it to me as if this problem started yesterday, or the week before, or maybe the month before, or in extreme cases, 2 or 3 months earlier. But when you listen and listen and listen, and when you pray and you begin to reach for the source of that problem, and a problem is never solved until the source is reached. A problem is never solved. So many times we deal with the surface of problems, the external expression of problems, but those problems are never solved until the source of that problem is reached. And through experience, I am not a psychologist, I am not a psychiatrist, I have never read a book of psychology, I have never read a book on psychiatry, but through experience, I have learned that problem that they think started a week ago or a month ago started when they were a little child, and there were certain things built into their mind and into their heart. They allowed the events to build a wall in their heart and in their minds that is now causing this thing to materialize. I have read and I have learned and I have heard that it's very important when a baby, just a little tiny baby, that it actually feels the heartbeat of its mother. That somehow it affects that child all of its life. If that mother will lay that child across her breast, and that child can feel the heartbeat of its mother, and it puts something good and strong in the fiber of that child that will help him for the rest of his life. And the child that does not receive that beautiful attention and that experience, somehow there is something missing all their life. It is missing there. There is a fiber that is not there. It is recorded in history in the 15th century that a king wanted to perform an experiment, and he chose 50 babies to isolate them from their mothers and from their fathers and to give them a nursemaid to take care of them. Her instructions was to touch them as little as possible. She was not to unnecessarily touch those children at all, and she was not to speak to them. She was never ever to speak a word to those children, to those 50 children. And he was wanting to see if they would learn to communicate with each other, what language they would talk, and how this would affect the children. And every one of those children was affected identically. Before they were 3 years old, they were all dead. There was something missing that was extremely important in their lives. And when a child learns to walk and it's at its mother's knee, and that child hears its mother pray and sees the calmness and the sweetness of a godly mother. One thing I have been impressed with, and I say this in righteousness and without any unrighteous thought in mind, I have looked at the women of this campground. You are genuinely beautiful. You are so beautiful. And I see the countenance. I made mention to one, the sister that sang last night, and we all enjoy, because we enjoy, everybody is a professional singer down here. The singing is so marvelous. But the one that sang so high from West Monroe, and they was talking about the beautiful scene last night, and I said, yes, and she looks so holy. She looks so godly. Praise the Lord. I tell you, when a child has someone like that near them, there is something built into their mind that is important. Now, I'm not discrediting the power of God. God can heal us. God can change us. But some of us need that healing of some things that we missed along the way. I speak to you by experience. Amen. And then there is that child that has just learned to walk, and all it hears is screaming and babbling and cursing and yelling and fighting and quarreling. You be sure that there's something being put in the mind of that child forever. As long, even if they live to be 70 or 80 years old, it is there. It is put into their minds, stones, and built into walls that God has to flee behind and stand behind. I could go on. Amen. Even in daycares, institutions, some of them are kind places of love and care. Some of them are just cold institutions. It has its effect. School has its effect. Amen. The relationship with students, the relationship with the teachers, and on and on and on. These things are built into our mind. Some of them are built into stair steps to God. Aren't you glad that you found God? But some of these things are built into walls that hinder. It's been my privilege to work with people who have had these walls built that hinders them from the truth. I lived in a city in Thailand by the name of Bangkok. In English, we call it Bangkok. And in that city, there are 400 Buddhist temples. On every street corner, there are idols. I have watched the parents as they bring their babies right on the street and teach those babies to bow before those idols. On every street corner, in every grove, on every high place, there are mountains in Thailand that has Buddha idols in them that are so mammoth they would not fit into this building. But you can see them for miles and miles. And their minds are geared to be away from God. So it is in Europe as well. I remember in London one time, I was taking a little tour through one of the old palace grounds, in one of the old forts, and there were some men there that we commonly call the beef eater. They prefer to be called the yeomen. They are the Queen's guards. And I was endeavoring to witness to him just a little at a time when we were breaking. He took a little bit of a fancy to me and wanted to walk with me when we were leading the group. And while we were walking, I tried to talk to him about the Lord. And he said to me, "Reverend Cole, we have been like this for 1,500 years. And I suppose that for the next 1,500 years, we will be the same." You see, walls built into their hearts that God has to hide behind. Can you say amen? In this text, the lover comes, the espoused, the one that is espoused unto her, comes to her door and knocks on the door. He does not want to molest her. He does not want to harm her. He does not want to violate her before marriage. He simply wants to caress her hair He wants to say sweet things to her. He wants to talk to her. He wants to see her. But you see, she is in a condition of lethargy. She is in a sleepy condition and says, I have put off my garments and I cannot come. If she could only realize who it was that was at that door, she would have surely responded before it was too late. When I was at the Bogalusa conference last year, I believe it was, I can't recall now, maybe it was last year, a year ago, January, when we were there giving the Bible teaching, I taught an hour and a half lesson on a lesson I called Precious Pain. I could have entitled that message Drunken and Insensitive. And it's very possible that through the events of our lives that we can become so insensitive to God when He wants to touch us, when He wants to caress us, when He wants to embrace us. Surely He has wanted to touch and embrace us this week. But I've got enough experience to know that there has been some of you sit in these meetings untouched and unmoved. Can you say amen? I know you're here. I may not have personally seen you, but I know you're here. I know you're here. God wants to touch us. God wants to embrace us. Hallelujah. He wants to caress us. He wants to love us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me hurry on. Here, when she awakened and went to the door, she could smell his cologne. She was sure that it was him because it was his fragrance. And she knew it was her beloved. It was her espoused. And so she ran out into the streets to search for him. But you see, he was already gone. He was standing behind her own wall. Not a wall that he had built. It was a wall that she had built. It was her wall that he was standing behind. And it wasn't long until the keepers of the wall found her and abused her. They raped her. They took away her veil. They molested her. And she was broken and bruised. Amen. And oh, such a horrible, horrible experience that she has gone through in this. Amen. Amen. How many times when we've been espoused unto the Lord, we're engaged unto Him today. Can you say amen? When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, we are engaged to Him. I can hardly wait for the marriage to take place. How about you? I want Him to come. I thank God for a fine car. I thank God for nice clothes. I have a beautiful home to live in. People almost gasp for their breath when they walk into my home. And I'm thankful for all of those things. But I tell you, they're nothing but trash compared to my desire to see the Lord. I want to see Him. I want to be married to Him. Praise God. But so many people are espoused to Him, and before that marriage can take place, the keepers of the wall, Satan, I want you to know that not only will the walls be built into our hearts and our minds, but Satan will be there to constantly remind us of that wall. He will see to it, and it stays in your mind. And every time it would see that wall is going to crumble down, and you're going to get victory over the abuses and the bruises and the some experiences that's going to bruise you. You're going to be wounded, and you can even get wounded believe it or not, in the house of God, sometimes the one that loves you the most, sometimes even a pastor, unintentional. Sometimes we do things, we're not God, and sometimes we make mistakes. I had a doctor painfully say to me one time, said, "Robert, we doctors bury our mistakes." And I said to him, "That is a tremendous responsibility." But I said, "We preachers send our mistakes to hell." And there are times when we are bruised. We are bruised, maybe by a husband, maybe by a wife, maybe by a saint of God, maybe by someone else. Nothing hurts so badly as being bruised by your friends. Isn't that right? Amen. And it will happen just as sure as you're sitting in this tabernacle. There will be things happen to you that will bruise you and hurt you and literally rape us, literally strip us sometimes of our glory, strip us of our joy, strip us of our victory. It's all gold, and walls are built into our minds. And you be sure that Satan will be appoint himself to be the keeper of that wall. He'll never let you forget it. He'll remind you. Amen. I remember on one occasion when I was in a service in the church that I pastor right now, we were having such a glorious service. God was meeting us in such a sweet, quiet way. And in the church that I pastor, we've had several hundred to receive the Holy Ghost in the last few years. And most of them have not received. Well, in fact, I don't mean to offend you, but I haven't given an altar call yet. I have not given one altar call in 5 years in that church. But they receive it sitting in the audience, or maybe at prayer time when we pray even before the preaching of the word. We've had over 400 to receive the Holy Ghost in that particular time. And it doesn't happen every Sunday morning. Doesn't happen every Sunday morning. But on this particular morning, 3 had received the Holy Ghost just standing among the pews. And one backslider had walked to the front of the church, and she had prayed through to the Holy Ghost. She had been out of the church for years. And I should have been happy. I should have been blessed. I was sitting in my particular place over to the side. I sit on the side of the platform so I can see the whole congregation rather than behind the pulpit. And I was sitting there. I should have been in the heavens. I should have been blessed. But the keeper of the wall, oh yes, I have one in my mind too. And the keeper of the wall touched my mind and reminded me of the wall that is there. And suddenly, the God that was in that service, that wanted to embrace me, that wanted to help me, had to flee and hide behind that wall that was in my mind. That wall stole the blessing that God wanted to give to me. Amen. I want you to know, I don't care who you are. I don't care. Even these national officials that are so beloved, there's going to be things happen to them, and if they're not careful, there will be walls built in their mind. Their minds will be bruised until God cannot bless them the way He wants to. And if it's true of him, it's true of you also. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Would you lift your hands and praise the Lord with me? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I must hurry along. These walls can become so formidable. They can become like the ill-famous Berlin Wall that has divided Germany for so many years. Such a formidable situation, especially in years gone past. People could not cross without giving their lives. Amen. This brain of ours, put your hands on your head and say, this brain of ours. Let me tell you, that is a magnificent piece of machinery. I wish we could fully understand it. I wonder what it would have been like if it hadn't been for the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. I wonder what our minds would have been if it had not been for all of these thousands of years of deterioration and degeneration, with so much sin. It has had its effect on our minds. But the mind is so powerful, and the devil knows that. The devil knows how powerful your mind is. And his most important weapon against us is deceit and suggesting thoughts. The devil has the power to put thoughts in our minds. Amen. He can do that. And he takes full advantage of the power of your mind. Amen. He can, you know, it's possible that we can have severe pain in our body when we should not have any pain, just from the power of the mind. I remember on one occasion, a certain preacher was with me, a brother that I love very, very much. He was extremely playful outside the pulpit, and he was putting some shoeboxes in to the trunk of my car. I thought he was clear, and I slammed the trunk down, you know, closed it. I got one of those kind now that you just touch, you know, and it pulls it closed. But those days I had a trunk that just slammed down, and he went, oh! And I thought I had mashed his hand. I thought I had broken his hand. And pain went from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. If I would have literally destroyed his hand, I would not have had 1 ounce of pain more than I had. My mind told me to have pain, and he was only pretending. And it wasn't long until he shook his hand and laughed at me. He had played a joke on me, you see. Then I wanted to punch him in the nose. But my mind, you've got to say my mind told me to have pain, and I had pain. Your mind can cause you to have sorrow when you should not have sorrow. Those brethren of Joseph never ever once told their daddy Jacob that Joseph was dead. They never told him. You read it. They did not tell him Joseph is dead. They did not tell him that an animal had destroyed him. They simply showed him a coat that belonged to Joseph with blood on it. Now Joseph was down in the camp with the Lord in Egypt. God was with him, and he was becoming the prime minister of the whole known world. But Jacob sorrowed until every hair in his head was white. If Joseph had been torn to pieces by a wild bear, Jacob could not have had any more sorrow than he had. His mind told him, Joseph is dead. And so he had great sorrow. But Joseph was not dead. Joseph was being blessed of God. Amen. This mind is so powerful, it can make you sick. I read in a journal once, where some children was having a general assembly in an elementary school in Massachusetts, and one of those children fainted on the floor and became very, very ill. And it wasn't long until more than 50 children had fainted, and fallen on the floor. And they rushed the whole student body to the hospital thinking that there was poison in the water or poison in the food. They were terrified. But when these children recovered quickly, except for the one, and they released him and kept the one that wasn't genuinely sick. And then they sent psychiatrists from Harvard University to examine these kids to see what had happened. And their conclusion was nothing but mass hysteria. Their minds caused them to actually faint and have exactly the same symptoms as that boy, that one child had. The mind is so powerful. I remember once when I was in the Philippines, we were going down a dirt road, Brother Carl Adams and a carload of some of the finest Philippine preachers, some of the finest preachers in the whole world, was in that four-wheel drive Land Rover or Toyota, whatever it was. And we looked, and there was a python snake all the way across that dirt road. It was about that big around. And, of course, that road wasn't very, very wide. But I'm terrified of snakes. The only way to handle a snake is with a 12-gauge shotgun. Praise God. And those brethren stopped, and they jumped out, and they were so pleased that I could see a python snake. I wasn't very pleased, and I wouldn't get out. And they were so disappointed, and they assured me that a python snake had no poison. If it bit you, it wouldn't hurt you anyhow. I told them, I said, I wouldn't even want a chicken bite me. Amen. Praise God. And they assured me the only way that snake could harm you is to wrap around you and crush you. And they said, it isn't long enough, Brother Cole, to reach around you. Amen. God bless your heart. I told them, that snake may not be able to hurt me, but it's about to make me kill myself. Now, I know that that is humorous. You have laughed. But that's Satan's only weapon against the saint of God. Satan cannot harm a saint of God. Never. Never. You hear me? Never. He that's within us is greater than he that's in the world. Satan cannot harm you. The only thing that Satan can do is to get something crossways in your mind, and you will destroy yourself. To build walls in your own mind that God has to hide behind, and God cannot get to you when he wants to touch you, when he wants to love you. Sister Freeman the other day told me something that was so precious, I'll never forget it. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. She said, Billy, when you stepped to the pulpit Wednesday night and you were struggling with your voice, she said, I see the vision of the Lord standing beside you, and he had his arms wrapped around you. Oh my God. The devil. Satan will trick you. He will trick you. Satan cannot harm you. He cannot. He cannot touch you and harm you. The only thing he can do is to trick you and deceive you, and you destroy yourself. And the more powerful you are in God, and when you turn on yourself, you turn your total power upon yourself. I had some folks to backslide in Charleston. I have nearly grieved myself to death over there. And the devil talked to me and convinced me that my ministry was ineffective and that that was the reason that they were backsliding, because my ministry was ineffective. And it grieved me so deeply. It grieved me so deeply that when I was going to conferences, I've been to 6 conferences this year to preach, and God mightily anointed me. That is not a boast, but whenever a preacher in the house falls on the altar for an hour and a half, God has blessed. And you say amen. And God blessed me in those conferences. He blessed me in my preaching. But as these folks failed God, one right after the other, the devil was able to speak to me and got me so grieved. Now, I will bear my soul to you. Now, you can just kill me if you want to, or you can take it as a help. I'm trying to be honest with you. Trying to be fair with you. Sometimes we project an image that we don't have. I know Brother Teddy loves to introduce me as the one and only, and I do have an anointing from God, but there are battles in my mind that I struggle with. No doubt you're going through the same through the same battles yourself. The devil so convinced me that my ministry was so infective that I got on the plane, strapped myself into the seatbelt, had a little prayer, and asked God to let the plane crash. That I didn't want to become ineffective. I'd rather be dead. You see, the devil cannot harm me. I have power over the devil. But if I turn all the strength and the power that God has given to Billy Cole on to Billy Cole, eventually Billy Cole is going to succumb to that attack. You see, when I attacked myself with all the power and the strength that I have, eventually I will destroy myself. And there are times when we need God to heal our minds. We need God to heal our minds. God is able. Hallelujah. 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 The devil wants to trick us. I must hurry to close. Just got 2 or 3 minutes. I must hurry. You see, the devil wants us to think he is so powerful. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He wants to come at us with literally thousands of devils. He'll come at you with thousands of them. He can't possess you. But he can torment you. He can come against you. And he'll convince you that it's just one little devil in you. And you're having a death struggle with one devil. That is a lie. One devil don't have a dead man's chance against you. There was 5,000, a legion of devils, possessed one single man. And tried to kill him. He was in the Gadarenes. He was able to, 5,000 of them was able to make him crazy. One man, 5,000 of them was able to make him crazy. And he would scream and tear himself. But 5,000 devils could not kill him. And when Jesus cast them out, they went into 2,000 hogs. And they were power enough to kill 2,000 hogs. But they couldn't kill one man. Now you put the Holy Ghost
in that one man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When the devil comes at you and tells you there's just one devil against you, he's a lion with thousands of them, and we have power over them. Hallelujah. The only time you don't have power is when he tricks you and you turn all the power you've got on yourself. You're no equal to the power that you have within you. When you turn that power on yourself, you will destroy yourself eventually. Amen. Israel has been deceived for 2,000 years. He awakened so late and he was gone. 2,000 years later, you can go to Jerusalem, and on Friday night, you'll see thousands of Jews standing at the Wailing Wall. We walk wailing and wailing, saying their prayers when Jesus is so close. Amen. They have forced him. Stand behind the wall. Jesus will come to you. I must close in 2 minutes. Jesus will come to you. Thomas said, I cannot believe. I cannot believe. And there may be a time in your life. I have done it. I have went before the Lord. And I have wept. I've called on the name of God. I have said, Lord, this is too big for me to handle. My heart is crushed. My mind is bruised. And I cannot overcome this. You must help me. And just as Thomas said, I can't believe unless I thrust my hand into his side and put my fingers in the imprints of his hands. Jesus appeared unto him through the wall. God is able to come to you today. If you're in this audience today and you've had a struggle with a bruised mind, something has happened to you that has hindered your walk with God or taken your faith or taken your joy, you're here because God has sent me minister to you today. And I read for you in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, yes, chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now the next verse will tell you where those strongholds are. Casting down imaginations. Would you say imaginations with me? Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember, Jesus not only came to set the captive free. Jesus came to give deliverance. Jesus came to give deliverance to the captives. But he said also to set at liberty them that are bruised. And there are saints of God who are bruised in their spirits and in their minds. Some of them have shouted this week. Some of them have worshipped the Lord with a all of their hearts. They have beautifully wore velvet over the sackcloth that they are wearing. Underneath the velvet, there is sackcloth. And the Lord wants to take away that sackcloth. The Lord wants to heal your mind. God wants to set you at liberty, them that are bruised. Would you right now reach over and lay your hand upon someone that's near you? You may not know it, but someone sitting right beside you may be exactly who this message is for. You may not know it. Husband, it may be your wife, and she has not confided to you. It could be your husband, wife, and he has not told you. I want you to pray as if it were possible that that is true in their lives. Lay your hands upon each other and let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I pray against depression. Jesus, I pray against bruised spirits. Heal your people's mind. Let the true joy of the Lord be in their lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, do you have a God? You performed so many miracles last night, Lord. I want you to perform miracles today. Deliver your people. Heal them. Heal them, I pray.